You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the Westside Community News, and today it is October 3rd, a.k.a. the month the NBA season begins. Preseason action has begun for a lot of teams. The Pacers tip off their preseason action on Wednesday. We'll, of course, be talking about that as the week evolves. But today, it's October. I'm late to the party. I wanted to do all these in September. One more season preview episode. I'm talking about Tyrese Haliburton, the guy for the Pacers this year. Maybe not forever. Maybe Benedict Mathurin sneaks in there or someone else. But this season, Tyrese Haliburton is likely to be the guy with all eyes on him and all the attention on his growth with the Pacers. Lots to cover today. Key stats to watch for him, what questions will define his season, how important he is to the long-term success of this team. We'll get to all that. Now, you might have noticed it's 2 minutes in and I'm talking funny. I was gone all weekend at a bachelor party, so I sound bad and I look bad if you're on YouTube. And yes, I am wearing a Snuggie because I am freezing cold. Please ignore that and continue to enjoy the talks of Tyrese Haliburton. It's going to be awesome to look ahead at his upcoming season because, like I said, I think under how I've talked about reviewing or previewing player seasons is, you know, are they important to the team for winning and losing this year? And from a separate rubric, are they important to the long-term growth aspect that Pacers have been talking about? And Tyrese Haliburton is important under both to the highest possible degree. So his upcoming season is absolutely fascinating as the starting point guard. And I like to start these by looking at a player's basketball reference statistical projections for the coming season. But hey, really quick, today's episode brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs help you find qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockdownnba and then come back and make Locked On Pacers your first listen. Tyrese Haliburton, basketball reference projected stats. Reminder, these are per 36 minutes. And I knew the second I opened this page, I typed in my notes, I bet basketball reference is low on his assist numbers. And they have it at 7.9 assists per 36 minutes for Tyrese Haliburton this season. For example, last year with the Pacers, he was at 9.6, 7.8 with the Kings, 8.4 total last season. To me, that is going to be his big stat this year. Not because he's just because he's a brilliant passer, which he is. Like, that is one of his key skills. Maybe the best passer most of these guys have ever played with, since maybe Jalen Smith, who played with Chris Paul. But, you know, thinking about Haliburton's role with what looks to be right now is at starting five, right? The group of the Pacers have been trotting out in practice. Myles Turner, Jalen Smith, Chris Duarte, Buddy Hield. Good players to fit around Tyrese Haliburton. None of them can really create for others. Chris Duarte, that would be a huge step in his development. Buddy Hield did a little bit as a second side guy last year, coming around screens and using his gravity to open up space, but not something they're known for, not something that's going to really threaten the defense in a way that Tyrese Haliburton reading the game and seeing three steps ahead of the defense and helping his teammates get open, he's going to have to do a lot with that starting unit. I think his assists per 36 are well above that, and I thought unless they went to like 10, I was going to think that it was low because every other stat makes sense to me. 16 points per 36 last year with the Pacers, about 17. They'll probably be asked to do a little less with guys like Mathurin in the mix, plus Turner's back. You know, most of the other stats, I would say, yeah, the projection's pretty easy, right? Pretty high three-point percentage, 42%, 48% field goal percentage, a little lower than he was last season. So they're saying he makes more threes and less twos. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but either way, in general, when I opened this, I thought, okay, they're going to be low on assists and pretty right on everything else. That's pretty much exactly right, right? Like four rebounds is right in line with his career averages. I think the big thing for him, especially contextualizing the lineups he's been practicing with, and it looks like he'll be playing with, is unless he's playing with McConnell or even with Mathurin, who shouldn't be passing to set up guys too much this year, but needs to develop that as the season goes along, he will be tasked with doing most of the setup work. And that's why I think his assist numbers will be higher than currently projected by basketball reference. But most of the rest seem about right. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 48, 42, 85 splits. Basically right in line with his career averages of 47, 41, 85. So, you know, those are areas that he can grow in, certainly. He makes threes from all varieties all the time. So I think those seem like they'll stay about the same. But I think the assists will definitely be a little higher, maybe even the steals too. But in general, basketball reference's projections have been pretty good. And that leads into, you know, okay, here's his projected numbers by a statistical model. What do the eyes say what this guy's role is going to be. Can and how can that play into his numbers? Because, like I said, he'll be the starting one in a lineup without a lot of creators for other guys. And that's why I think this year, yes, a big thing for Tyrese Halliburton's growth will be, can he create his own shot more? Is he willing to shoot more? But from a role perspective, that doesn't change much. I think he'll be the starting point guard playing what I guessed would be 33 minutes a game when I was charting out the team's rotation for an exercise back in, you know, July and August. But Rick Carlisle seems like he's saying that guys won't be playing that much. They have a lot of depth. They would like to play these guys a lot. Seems like it'll be closer to 30 this year as they sort of try to get everybody minutes, get everybody developing. So 30 minutes a game as the starter makes a ton of sense. And I think he'll start every game. And I think that a lot of goals should be to try to not experiment necessarily. That's a little extreme. But get Tyrese in as many lineups as you can. See what works and what doesn't. Him and Mathurin. Him and McConnell. I mean, that shouldn't work. But, you know, how does it shouldn't work well. It should be fine. But how much can two creators do well together if one of them can't shoot? You know, Halliburton plus certain bigs at center, Halliburton, you know, all of it will matter for both an assessment point with that individual player and for that player archetype. So, well, the way I've always tried to talk about the role part of this is likely role this season and what will change about it as it relates to their stats. Nothing should change about his role this season, next season, five seasons from now, unless Benedict Mathurin is a spectacular self-creator and becomes a better passer than I think he will be, which is fine if he's not. Either way, you're just looking at the way he plays. If he does become that, yeah, Halliburton could play the one but be more off-ball than he looks like he'll be right now. But it looks like his role this year will be setting the foundation for Tyrese Halliburton, the creator, the engine of the Pacers offense. No reliance on Malcolm Brogdon, no reliance on other guys to sometimes create for him, playing with McConnell last year, playing with Kiefer Sykes at times last year. I think I'm missing one. Either way, this year I think he'll be tasked with more of the ball in his hands. You are the starting point guard, Tyrese Halliburton, and he'll be asked to set up his teammates in that lineup, right? Find some chemistry with all those guys, especially Miles and Duarte, and also be a little more aggressive, right? Can he be not a score first point guard? I don't think that's his nature, especially as a picky player, a perfectionist. You know, if he sees someone open, he wants to get him the ball. I think it's going to be very hard to change his nature. That's not a negative to pass the ball to an open player unless you're passing up an open shot yourself, but I do think he, as the starting point guard, will have to work a little bit on how can he himself get those shots going. A lot of the best teams in the league have a guy who, with the ball in their hands, they can get a shot for themselves. And that's a very key skill for a guy to be an elite player or an all-star or whatever, and Halliburton's not at that level yet. And he can get there, but that's one of the key skills to add at that point guard role for him is being more aggressive, creating his own shot. Because if you listen to the podcast where Caitlin Cooper was here, sure, Tyrese Halliburton has unforeseen stats. No player has ever done 15, 8, and 40% from three in one of their first two seasons. But his usage rate is shockingly low, right? 20%. It's rare that all-stars have usage that low. In fact, it's almost never. So he's got to up the usage, which means finishing plays, whether that's a shot or more passes or just being the creator more often instead of deferring and trying to let other guys. He is the guy this year, certainly, and he's got to show that. And I think as the starting point guard, this year, next year, probably the next 5 years, depending on how the contract negotiations go for him, that will be the role for him. The starting point guard for the Indiana Pacers, regardless of who is around him. It doesn't make sense for him to play a ton of other spots unless it's a spot-up guy next to TJ McConnell, which you'll learn a lot from those moments. It shouldn't be too often, I don't think, but you know that's a smart thing as well. But that won't be a changing role for him. That will just be a couple minutes sprinkled in every game. I think Tyrese Halliburton should be the starting point guard every game, no changes for years and years, unless a dynamite creator who can fit really well with him comes in the mix. And maybe that's Benedict Mathurin. Maybe that's a player to be named later. Who knows? But I think in the context of what Tyrese Halliburton is good at, what the Pacers would like him to be, and how long their project is, he'll be the starting point guard this year and beyond. Let's move on a little bit here. Look at some stats and questions that will define his season. Statistics, I've been terrible at narrowing it down to one. Questions, the absolute same thing. But hey, we'll try our best here to look at Tyrese Halliburton's season, look at what the big things to monitor will be. But before we do that, really quickly, guys, I just want to talk to you about the good people over at LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. You can add your job there, purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, and boom, simple tools like screening questions make it easier to focus on candidates with the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. So why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmba. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmba to post your jobs for free. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. For your second listen, we have started the season preview series over at Locked On NBA. The Pacers group coming up soon if you want to listen to that, but they've done one for contenders, for the tankers. It's all over the place. We're starting at a Locked On NBA right now. But let's dive back in to Tyrese Haliburton's upcoming season, maybe the most pivotal of his career. No longer tied to De'Aaron Fox, no longer tied to Davion Mitchell, no longer tied to Malcolm Brogdon. He is the dude for the Pacers this year. And he will answer a lot of questions about, can he be the dude at an all-star level? At the current level he is, where he's about a fringe top 50 player, can he exceed that? Adding skills to his game, adding reads to his game will certainly help him grow. He's still only 22 years old, but still has to show those things on a team that is his. And he knows that this year. So let's look ahead at some of the big stats and questions about his season. And I never have been good about the prompt. I typed the biggest question about their season, and I made these prompts. I've just been bad at following them. And most important stat to monitor, which implies that it should be a singular question and a singular stat. And I don't think I've done that for a single player or position group. Either way, the biggest question about Tyrese Haliburton's season. I have a couple, but to sum it up, can he improve? How will he improve is more accurate. He's 22. He will definitely improve. Young players get better. It's not a linear growth pattern. It's not like he got better last year, so he's guaranteed to get that much better this year. Maybe it takes a little bit to kick into gear. Who knows? But the specific types of that question is, can he improve in his two biggest weak points? His defense and his aggression finding his own shots on the floor. I think that that stat is very telling that I referenced earlier about that Caitlin Cooper alerted me to. 20.3% usage with the Pacers last year. 20.3%. 1 in 5 possessions. That's essentially like if the team just had every player shoot the same number of shots, which is obviously not how this should work. Just for some references, Lance Stephenson, 24%. Malcolm Brogdon, 25%. Caris LeVert, 27%. Dwayne Washington, 23%. Isaiah Jackson, even at 23%. Buddy Hield at 22%. Duarte higher. Gabe York higher. Tristan Thompson higher. Those guys, when they got the ball, tried to finish plays in some way. Tyrese Haliburton has to get that number. I mean, I know that a million players played for the Pacers last year, and there's some small sample size junk in there with Gabe York and Tristan Thompson. Either way, Tyrese Haliburton ranking 13th on a team in usage rating. 13th is just wrong. And I get the context of the Pacers last year and why it happened that way and what the rest of the roster was and how injuries played a part. Sure, sure, that all matters. But this year, that can't be the case. That number's got to sniff at least that Brogdon range. 24.6 is what he finished at last year. And that was in a tandem backcourt with Caris LeVert a lot of the time. Now, he did play with Haliburton as well and other guys, but in general, in his 36 games, you know, he was playing with another guard and still was finishing plays, and his usage was about 24.6%. Haliburton's got to get that up. That's got to be more shots from somewhere, right? Looking at his shooting by area, only 15% of his shots with the Pacers were from 0 to 3 feet, a little bit more from 3 to 10, and even more, 10 to 16 feet, almost the same number at the rim. Right, he pulls up in the mid-range a lot. He passes out of drives a lot. From 16 feet and in, he still shoots well. 64% from 10 to 16 feet, 50% for his career. Right, 3 to 10 feet, he's been good. 70% of the rim for his career. He's got to be confident in that shot. I think that's a big growth step for him and every player, really. Like, Caris LeVert adding the floater really helped him grow, even though his defense never came around and his creation for others never came around. Adding another shot to his bag from up close was very helpful. Haliburton's got to add something, whether that's confidence, whether that's a specific shot he can get to, like Jeremy Lamb's left elbow jumper, for example. Getting all the way to the rim, adding something will help him because he already is so talented at reading the game, right? He can see 3 steps ahead, 4 steps ahead, right, in the pick and roll. He's firing someone the ball at the right time, right? He's great at that stuff. On the defensive end, too. And he's good in transition, which the Pacers need to get stops to help with, which leads into something I'll talk about in a second. All these reads are great, but he's got to finish some of these plays himself, or else guys will just sag off of him or load up on other players, and it'll just get clunky, right? You can be an inverse spacer. You can hurt your team's spacing if you're not, shooting enough, or your tendencies suggest that you need to be doing something different. That can hurt a team's spacing. And I think that Tyrese knows this, that he's got to be a little more aggressive. He talked about it a lot after games last season, but he's such a perfectionist. He wants to make the right play. He wants his team to make the right play. I think sometimes he's got to take matters into his own hands and look for the right shot himself. And he's good at finishing 15 feet in. He's just got to do it. And the threes are obviously great. Keep taking those. He's a masterful off the dribble 3-point shooter and catch and shoot guy. Those should not be shots that go away from his shot diet. There should probably be more. honestly. So every range that an efficient shot goes up from, he should take more of them. He should be shooting more often. That will be the most important thing for his offensive repertoire to go from, yeah, this guy's pretty good, he's a top 50 player, to, wow, you know, this guy can be a key piece for a Pacers team the next time they reach the playoffs, and maybe when Indy hosts the All-Star game in 2024, he can sniff that realm. You know, a lot of important steps of growth for him coming from that aggression. And the other thing to improve, and a big question for him, is his defense, right? And I'll talk about this stat in a moment, but his on-off on defense this past season for the Pacers, 9.5 points per 100 possessions. The Pacers were worse with Haliburton on the court than off. Now, some of baked into that is pre-trade deadline stuff, and they were at least an okay defensive team. So I understand that there are some limits to that on-off specifically, but a 123 defensive rating with him on is atrocious. I understand that he reads the game very well, and that lends well to good team defense, standing in the right places, things like that. But he's got to get better at individual defense, at communicating with other people who are also involved in team defense so that everybody is doing well and so that he can himself improve and be a leader on the end of the floor. Having Miles Turner back will help, right? That's someone he can learn from and learn angles from and, you know, figure out the team scheme and things like that. But he himself has got to get better on the end of the floor. Like a 123 defensive rating with him on, if that happens again this season, this will be an objective failure season for the Pacers, which I don't think that will be the case. That's an absurdly high number. And after All-Star break, offensive ratings go up as teams are optimized and are chasing certain things. But still, that number is ridiculously high. It's got to be better, and his defense has to be better. Now, pivoting to stats, that's a stat I just talked about, obviously. His defensive rating on-off will be one of the key stats I'm watching for Tyrese Haliburton this year. Obviously not the most important, but one of the most important. Are they better or similar on defense with him out there? Obviously, their offensive engine is going to make their offense better most nights. You know, if guys are knocking down shots that he's throwing or he finds more aggression and can get to his spots more often, yeah, the offense will be better with him in there. He can beat a guy off the dribble. He can throw a good pass. You know, those are things that make an offense better, even if you don't have the ball all the time. But can he make the defense better, or at least the same? You know, last year, they were doing much better with other guys at the one, whoever it was. That can't be the case. And, you know, maybe it will be the case, and then the Pacers have to build a sort of different team around him. But I don't think they would – that's not the best case scenario, you know, and – you know, maybe he's just never a good defender, but for a guy who can really read the game the way he does, you would think he'd be better on the end of the floor. I think that's going to be key to monitor this year is, are those on-offs better? Are they more similar? Are they a similar defensive team with him on and off? Because that would kind of change the way the team is built around him. Another one, obviously, going back to his aggression, field goal attempts per possession. Can that number go up to a rate that makes more sense for a player of his skill set? Because again, you know, if you go to the Pacers last year, sort by field goal attempts per possession, Tyrese Haliburton ranked 15th. In shots per 100 possessions. Behind Sabonis, behind Lamb, behind Thompson, behind Keelan Martin, behind Isaiah Jackson, you know, a ton of guys. He's got to shoot more. He's got to find his spots more. He's got to be more involved in the I'm putting the ball in the MFN basket part of the offense. And passing can be good. And I think the Nate McMillan teams had this problem sometimes where they would pass up good shots in the hopes that they would get a great shot, which can work out. The Nate McMillan teams were very technically sound and won almost every game they should win, right? But they also lost a lot. But that was a good strategy, but not the best strategy at times, especially when you have a talented player like Tyrese Haliburton. He's got a good shot. He's got to take it, I think. And the last stat to watch with him, and something to watch with him next year and the year after, and as long as these guys are teammates, what are his stats with Mathurin like? And really, what are the Pacers' stats with Mathurin and Haliburton on the court together? The two most important Pacers this year and next year, unless they get the number one pick or something, but, you know, two of the most important Pacers for the next maybe half decade. You know, how do they fit together? What do their numbers look like together? Where are their obvious complements in each other's skill set? And I've asked both of them if they feel like they complement each other. And they both thought, yeah, we do. You know, we think we do. And I think that they can. You know, they both can shoot well enough. They both can beat guys off the bounce. Sure, that's great. But they've got to show it at the NBA level. You know, that's a big step. That's hard to do. And two guards can work really well together. We've seen that time and time again. It's not like it's going to be hard for them to share touches. There's a lot to go around. I don't have any concerns about all that sort of stuff. It's just, can they make each other better in some way? Can one guy shooting open up stuff for the other guy? Can one guy's dribbling ability collapse the defense and help the other guy? You know, things that just make an offense move and make a defense move and make all the parts on the court one whole basketball game. Can they complement each other in a way that helps the Pacers win? You know, that's going to be a big thing to watch this season, both as a question and a statistic, because those are two of the most important Pacers for the next half decade and beyond. Given how contracts work, given how restricted free agency works, this is the year to discover that stuff if you're Rick Carlisle and the Pacers. One more segment talking about Tyrese Haliburton, his importance to the team this year and beyond, things like that as we close out the season preview series, sort of. Let's dive right into that. Before we do, though, I want to talk to you guys about betonline.net, your number one source for football betting info this season. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every single game you can find at betonline.net. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering info, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Already got next week's games going for football Monday night tonight. 49ers favorite against the Rams, the defending champions. Interesting. Thursday night football, the Colts, who lost earlier today. The spread says the Broncos are going to beat them by 3. Can the Colts continue to randomly win the games they should lose and do the opposite in other games? Who knows? All those lines and more over at betonline.net, the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at betonline.net, because betonline is where the game starts. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. For your second listen, hop on over to any of the Locked On shows for teams that have already played in the preseason. Bucks have played, Grizzlies have played, Wizards have played, Warriors have played. Actual games are happening. Rockets and Spurs were playing earlier today. I wish I could have caught them, but I was in the car. Either way, check out all those Locked On shows to get the latest and greatest from actual NBA basketball games. We made it. It's October. We're here. We'll be covering Pacers preseason starting tomorrow. What to watch for. What I want to watch for. Hopefully I can get a guest. We'll see. I'm a little late to the scheduling party here. Of course, we'll be talking about Pacers Hornets come Thursday. Hey, let's continue talking about Tyrese Haliburton season, though, as we're doing today. The way I like to close these shows is a long-term looking approach to the player. Well, first a short-term looking approach and then a long-term looking approach about importance to the team. The Pacers are going for a longer project. They've admitted as such. They've said it's going to take a while. Okay. How important is this player to the team's success this year under lots of different rubrics and future seasons when the Pacers want to be good again, a postseason threat or whatever their hope their ceiling is? So let's start with this. Tyrese Haliburton, 2022-23. How important is he to the success of the Pacers this season? Incredibly. Look, incredibly. Because no matter what rubric you use to grade the Pacers season on when it comes to an end, one of them might be wins and losses. Did they win more games than last year when things were a disaster? Did they exceed their win total expectation? Did they win more games than many thought, or did they lose more than any thought? If the team is going to be better than people thought, a big part of why is going to be that Tyrese Haliburton was good or improved or got better. Not that other guys can't be the reason the team took a step forward, but in general, lead ball handling player, the guy that has the ball all the time, taking a step forward and growing with his team is one of the biggest reasons a team exceeds expectations or gets better. It happened with the Kings, with De'Aaron Fox, it happened with the Knicks, with Julius Randle, it happened with the Hornets and LaMelo Ball, and those are just small scale examples. The larger scale ones with the Cavs and Darius Garland, with the Bucks and Giannis, right? You can go on and on. Once that guy, who has the ball all the time, figures out his stuff, the team gets way better. And so, if Tyrese Haliburton, the guy who projects to have the ball a lot, gets a lot better, the Pacers could win more games this year. I don't think that takes a rocket scientist. So, for the wins and loss rubric, yeah, he's extremely important. Maybe the most so. He might be their best player this year. ESPN and CBS and many, including Locked On NBA, top 50, 100, whatever, let's say, he's the best Pacer by quite a lot. Excuse me. Moving on, though. The other part of this rubric for the Pacer season, many will not look at their record as the way to gauge success. Rick Carlisle, when I asked him how he would define success this season, did not mention the record, right? He said, hey, I think it's going to be about, you know, eye test, week to week, month to month, whatever. Can I see these guys getting better? Can I see the Pacers improving? Can I see these young guys taking a step forward? And that's obviously important to every young team, but the Pacers even more so, who have never done a project like this. So for the other rubric for the Pacers' success this season, do guys get better from start to finish of the season, of course, but from week to week, from month to month, from whatever observation point you use? Do they look better? Are their stats better? Things like that. Also, Tyrese Haliburton, super important this year because, sure, other guys can get better and lead this team to the next step without him. Sure, that's possible. But I think most would consider him one of the three, at least, probably two, most important guys for their growth to get the Pacers back to whatever, the postseason, the conference finals, whatever ceiling you would like to put on this era. You know, him improving is a big part of that. So whatever rubric you want to use for success for the Pacers this season, wins and losses, growth, his fit with other key players, Duarte, Mathurin, Turner, Smith, whoever, all those, for him, more than anyone, given his current talent level, he's the most important player to me for the Pacers' success. And a guy, another perfect player can take him over, to be clear. If Benedict Mathurin has an unbelievably good rookie season, wins Rookie of the Year, Tyrese Haliburton does not become the most important player for growth. Benedict Mathurin does. But right now, I would say, for the success of the Pacers this season, Tyrese Haliburton is probably the most important player, no matter what grading method you're using to discuss success for the Pacers this year. I would understand someone else like Turner or Smith or Mathurin, of course, or Duarte being your pick, given what this team is structured like and things like that. But I think it's Haliburton, and I think many would agree with me. And so the other question I ask in these last segments is not about this season, but long term. How important are they to the Pacers long term? Are they angling for their spot on the Pacers long term? Well, angling for a spot? Heck no. Tyrese Haliburton could even have a down year this year, and he'd be the starting point guard in 2023-24, right? Like, that's just how it's going to be. They have given him the keys to drive. If they draft Scoot Henderson, I would bet Scoot Henderson plays it too. Not because Scoot Henderson might not be better one day, but because Haliburton is a natural point guard. Henderson can play multiple spots. So, no, I don't think he's angling for any spot or role on the Pacers long term. Tyrese Haliburton will be the starting point guard for the Pacers as long as they will have him, and vice versa. In the modern NBA, you have to include the player side of things. So, no, I don't think he is angling for any sort of spot on the Pacers long term. He and Mathurin and Duarte are basically the only three guys I think you can say that for. Everybody else is either trying to prove themselves, their contract is expiring, their position group is crowded. Those three guys have a really important season ahead of them because, you know, they are really important to the Pacers long term, and they're not fighting for a spot. They have obvious roles locked up, but they have to take advantage in them. So is Tyrese Haliburton angling for a spot in the Pacers long term? Absolutely not. He's a starter with other pieces needed or coming or whatever you want to say about what they have around him. But how important is he to the Pacers long term? Well, hey, also extremely important. Maybe he doesn't turn out to be the best player of the young core that they currently have. Maybe that's someone else. Maybe that's player to be drafted or traded for later. But right now, he appears to be one of their two most promising young players. That's obviously important to the team's long-term success. I'm really high on Tyrese Haliburton. I don't think that's a secret, though I've talked about him on this show, on past shows, things like that. I think he's going to be a multi-time All-Star, whether that's two or three or five or six. We'll have a lot to say about the long-term future of the Pacers. But eventually, I think he gets there. And in that vein, I think he's incredibly important to the success of the Pacers long term. Even if he doesn't reach that, and he's a top 30, 40, 50, whatever player perennially, still pretty good, right? That's still very important to your team's long-term success. So other guys could become more important this season depending on how they play, depending on their contract status changing, depending on injuries and things like that. But as you look forward at Tyrese Haliburton's season this year, basically for him, it's can he lead a team? How good is he going to be? And does he have the signs that he can be one of the best players on a very good team? And I'll be fascinated to watch it because it's very rare that a player can read the game the way he does and shoot the way he does. In fact, maybe never. We'll see if it translates for another season. But so far, he's looking like one of the most unique talents that the NBA has seen. Not that it's like changing the league or he's one of the best guys, but it's a very unique skill set. And I love that. I think it's going to be very fun to watch him this season. Thank you guys for making it this far on this final season preview. Tomorrow, we'll start preseason previewing, hoping to have a guest, but again, poor planning. It's 11:20 p.m. on October 2nd. I, of course, look deathly and sound deathly, so we'll see if I can get somebody. But I want to talk preseason things to watch because there's a lot for a young team that has not been seen much. The lineups, the players, the fits, things like that. It'll be all so important. Then we'll talk about the Hornets specifically on Wednesday, takeaways from that game and what's going on later as the week progresses. So I'm excited. It's October. Basketball's here. The Pacers are here. And it's time to watch a new era for this Indiana Pacers team. I can't wait. We'll, of course, cover it all here on the Locked On Pacers podcast. Thank you guys a ton for listening to this episode. Go listen to Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd if you're into fantasy basketball, because I suck at it. But Josh is very good. He is a super helpful resource for all things fantasy basketball. Take care, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. And we will see you tomorrow.